Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue today reading through a passage that began yesterday, Acts chapter 3. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go back and give it a listen. I've just been deeply moved once again by the Acts of the Apostles. And the reason I'm talking about it, I was just as a staff at Renewal Ministries, we've been reading through the Acts. We've been choosing different books over time, but we do this throughout the year. And we have kind of one goal in mind. We've got about 27, maybe 30 young people and our regular staff together. And we have one goal in mind as we're reading through the letters together, reading through very slowly, not in a hurry. We're not doing a lot of commentary, diving in and doing deep dives in terms of everybody come ready and do all your homework outside of it. We're just encountering the word in the moment. That's one way that it can be very effective to go through. And we just read a section and then we just give people a chance to say, what are you hearing there? What are you seeing there? What in the reading is moving your heart or what you might have questions about, something like that. So it's been something we've been doing for a number of years now, and we really love it. I'd highly recommend it to anybody, his families to do it or in your jobs. I know a guy who runs a very large company who offers it to people on his team, you know, his executive team and others. If they want to, they do a weekly Bible study similar to this kind of thing, and they get a number of people come. They just love doing it. So there's so much power in the Word of God. And I think we underestimate, friends, most Catholics, I don't think it's an exaggeration, but most Catholics either underestimate the power of the Word of God and the fact that it's a living Word, it's alive, it's God-breathed, it's animated right here, right now, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's an anointed Word, it's a powerful Word, it's a life-changing Word. Which, of course, Scripture itself talks about it that way. The saints tell us about it. The magisterium of the church tells us about it. And ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, echoes one of the saints, right? And that's really true because this is, as Pope Benedict told us, the Word of God is a personal love letter, among other things, a personal love letter to each and every person who picks it up. And it's a word that can speak right to the heart and the core of the person. And a humble heart that receives it that way receives help from God. That is, God the Holy Spirit, who animates that word. He makes it come alive in the heart and mind of the person who's humble and welcoming and hungry and ready to chew on the word and is truly longing and seeking. So it has just extraordinary power to transform lives. So yesterday, I took up the reading from Acts 3 because as we were going through it as a staff, I was a passage I've read, I don't know, hundreds of times probably in my life, just stuff jumped out at me again. And it was a little bit of Lectio Divina, meaning just I was thinking of the situation, not just the phrases there, but the actual physical situation, historical situation that Peter and John were standing in. Right, they had just, for those who didn't tune in yesterday, this is the section where Peter and John go to the temple to pray, and they encounter a crippled man, a layman, who was at the gate, the beautiful gate entrance into the temple for many years. Everybody saw him. Everybody who came to the temple knew who that guy was, and he reached out to them asking Peter for alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." It's interesting. Peter said, "I don't have money, but I know what else I have. What I have is the presence of Christ living in me. I'm walking as a child of God and as an apostle in particular in the authority of Jesus Christ. And I know for sure that he died and rose and his kingdom now is making its way through us." That is the apostles. The reigning Jesus Christ who rose from the dead and who's clothed in glory, ascended at the right hand of the Father. Now he's ruling, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And now through his church, beginning with the apostles, he's pouring out the life of the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Spirit to animate the life and the preaching of the Christian people led by the apostles and communicating a new life. a new power, and the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done and where he is right now, and the offer, of course, of salvation. And so I talked about the drama in the moment yesterday, in particular, Peter being right there in the heart of the Jewish world, in the temple itself. Lots of drama there. I won't go back to it, but if you didn't get a chance to hear the program yesterday, I encourage you to go because I think you might find it helpful. And just situate yourself there in the moment. But I ended in verse 19, where after Peter had talked about and spoke directly to them, and they were looking, all the people had rushed and ran to the apostles to try to figure out, who are these guys and who healed that crippled man? Who, within moments, this man who was crippled probably for life, is now walking and leaping and praising God. And it was just like a shock wave went through the place. And so they come to Peter and John, and they think they're the source of it. And then Peter uses it now, this sign and wonder, because just like the Father did throughout the life of Jesus, through signs and wonders, he testifies to the truth of who Jesus is. The absolute, unrepeatable, totally unique King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus is not just another great religious figure in history. He's the God-man. Peter says, he is the author of life. He told them, you killed the author of life. He accused them of killing the author of life. Not just a man, not just a political messiah, not just a special man, but the God-man. And he's declaring it confidently to them. And he said, but we're here to tell you that the one you killed is not only the author of life, but he's alive. God raised him. You killed him. God raised him. That's the central proclamation of the Christian people. The whole of the Christian life, everything about it depends on this. This is the centerpiece. It's part of the core proclamation, the kerygma. And then the fact that this happened gets their attention. And they say, well, what do we do? And Peter says, repent, change your life, change the direction of your life, turn away from your sin and wickedness and turn to God. But isn't it interesting? He's saying it to people, his fellow Jews, who are praying in the temple. They need salvation. Every human being needs to be brought from death to life. This is what gets confused in the world and even the church today. The people say, well, what Christianity is about is being good to other people, being kind to other people, loving other people. Absolutely, that's part of it, for sure. The foundation is, and the message, the good news of Christianity, is the truth that God the Father has a plan that's unfolding in history to save a fallen race of people who were made for glory in the image of God, but fell from glory and could not on our own strength or all the works we could summon, we could not raise ourselves up to glory. That is sharing in God's life. We were without hope in the world, Paul tells us. We were dead in our sins, and he made us alive. He, the one who came alive in the resurrection, Peter's now saying, is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and there's power he's releasing for new life, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, but first and foremost, above all things, to bring people to repentance, to acknowledging their sin and rebellion and need for God, and receive the gift of salvation, which is sharing in the life of Jesus. Peter goes on and he takes them through the Old Testament, the anticipation of leaders in the Old Testament who God was preparing for the fullness of time when Jesus would come, and this would all unfold. Again, I'll start at verse 19. Peter said, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's a beautiful way to say it, isn't it? Times of refreshing, refreshment of what? The river of life that flows from heaven, which is the Holy Spirit, into the hearts of human beings, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. The Christ is the anointed one. What anointed means? Messiah means anointed with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus means Savior. The Savior who comes to save by dealing with people's rebellion and sin, the sin problem and the death problem. And he's the Christ who wants to bring that river of life, transformation of life, to share in the life that belongs to Jesus to fallen human beings. He said, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. And now he identifies who he's talking about. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet from your brethren as he raised me up. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Wow, that's a strong word. The prophet was raised up. That's a strong warning. Verse 24, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came afterwards also proclaim these days. Peter's saying these days that are happening right now, the Spirit of God's being poured out. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God gave to your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your posterity shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And listen to this. So he's identifying who they are. This is the people of Israel, the people of God, the inheritors of the patriarchs and the promises. Verse 26, God, having raised up his servant, that is Jesus, sent him to you first. So the Jewish people, right there in the core central place of all the Jews around the world, know it's the central place. Peter and John were sent by Jesus to first preach this truth to them. Why? Because they needed it. Because he came to save them. Verse 26, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. This is something the entire human race shares. Sin-sick hearts, rebellious hearts, alienated from God. Can you imagine the chutzpah of Peter? Here they are, these people think, wait a minute, how could this be? We're the holy ones. We're in the temple every day. And Peter said, to turn from your wickedness. That's a hard thing for anybody to hear, but it's the truth. And this kind of clarity that Peter is proclaiming is often resisted, avoided by people in the church. Because the reason it's so important for us to take this in is this is the first preaching, the first teaching, the first extension of Jesus's victory over the powers of sin and death through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the message the Spirit wants proclaimed. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, when he sends the Spirit will give you power to go make disciples of all nations. That is to make them, bring people to become followers of Jesus through repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, for baptism, for new life in the Holy Spirit. But do you see how bold Peter is? And this is love. This is love. Today, saying anything like this seems like people say, well, don't talk that way because it's not loving. And the church is, I think, being affected by the broader culture that's all about defining love as just affirming people wherever they are, whatever they think. But Peter understands what's at stake. It's eternal life. And this is a time of mercy for the whole world. So he's being faithful to the Lord. Hope you can join me again tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.